again, ladies and gentlemen.
Everybody's here.
Eating biscuits with hot sauce and grape jelly.
He said he had to try it because it was free. I told him it was free. But he said it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible either. I mean,
that's kind of how I feel about it.
It's an acquired taste.
I'm not a big hot sauce fan, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's got to be like Tabasco or that Crystal's Louisiana hot sauce, one of the two.
Yeah.
Put it on there, you spread it on the meat, get it kind of soak in a little bit. Then you take some grape jelly and you put it on top of there and then just eat the biscuit like that. And it's got to have sausage. Probably wouldn't be as good with ham. Probably wouldn't be as good with ham.
Yeah, hot sauce and ham don't really go together.
Yeah, and we were eating them on sausage biscuits that didn't have any cheese either. It was just a biscuit with sausage in the middle of it.
Yeah, like from Waffle House.
Yeah, it was like that.
Like just the no frills.
I think we were getting them from Ward's.
Oh, man.
Remember Ward's?
Montgomery Ward's?
No, Ward's.
Or just Ward's, Ward's.
It's a Mississippi chain. Yeah. Ward's. Yeah, it's kind of like...
I don't know if we had any of those.
It was a hamburger. It's a hamburger chain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, real crappy looking. But it's good in the inside. Fried chicken sandwich, fried chicken.
I like a good fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah. I think black people own it.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
So they make the good shit?
You're fucking right. Fucking right. It's like a black-owned chain. I think. I'm pretty sure.
Wonder if it's still there.
It's still around because I went to go see my dad for his surgery. Ward's was still there. I was eating in it.
Well, shit, that was only a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. And like we said on the show yesterday that we were making some pumpkin bread and it was in the oven and it came out of the oven and it was delicious.
Yeah.
Even though you forgot to cream the butter and sugar together first.
It didn't matter.
But it didn't end up mattering at the end. It turned out okay. I had some for breakfast this morning.
Bring me back to Ward's. That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a black family that owns that. It's a small chain. I think it's only Mississippi. Maybe Alabama, maybe a little bit of it in Louisiana. I think it's black owned. Just only black people work there. I've never seen a white person working there.
Interesting.
You got to be a cute black chick to work there. So it's like... Yeah, or an old black lady. There's only one of the two. There's nothing in between.
No one else is represented.
Well, in the back, they think they got black guys cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what you see up front is just either old ladies or like 16, 17-year-old black girls.
Oh, yeah, it is Veterans Day today, isn't it?
Yeah. I just found out a couple hours ago. I don't really care about it.
Well, I only know because it comes up on my little Mac and it goes bark and it makes like a little fart noise. Like when it's not, I don't know why the Mac makes that noise when it tells you it's a holiday, but whatever. All right. So the movie we were talking about today is another one that I had heard about previously. And then I saw that it was streaming on Hulu. This is from 2017. It's a Canadian movie and it's called Piwacket.
Yeah.
Now, this movie, it's pretty much, I mean, there's other characters in it, but it's mostly like the main two actresses, which is like a mother and daughter. Now, the mother is played by Laurie Holden, who famously played Andrea on The Walking Dead. And she was in The Mist too, right? I want to say.
Yeah, I think she was, yeah.
She's good at playing like bitchy characters. And she is also indeed a bitchy character in this. And it's also directed by Adam McDonald, who I found out was the same guy that directed Backcountry, which I'm pretty sure is that Killer Bear movie that was like based on a true story, which was actually quite good if you haven't seen that one. I think that one's on Tubi.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good. Like really gory shit, like when the guy gets attacked by the bear or whatever. Like I said, it's based on a true story.
This movie's pretty interesting, this one.
This one was pretty good. It's now, I'm going to say it's much more in the creepy, slow burn type of vibe. Not super action packed. It's kind of like, it's basically what happens is there's this teenage girl named Leah and her dad has died just in some undetermined way. And she has turned to the evil goth occult subculture.
Yeah.
And has started hanging out with a bunch of gothy teens.
Well, it's kind of like goth and black metal put together.
Yeah, there is some crossover.
They were listening
to
metal. They had good music in it. They were listening to metal. They were also listening to Lords of the New Church
was in there. That was nice.
They were listening. What was the other one that I recognized? Wasn't it like Brian Eno?
There was some music. Some of the score sounded very Brian Eno.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was talking about.
So I don't know if it actually was, but it did actually sound like it.
Sounded like something off of David Bowie's Low album.
Yeah, so like some decent music in it. Like, yeah. I said, like some black metal as well. So I was like, even though it's set in the present day, it's not set in the 80s.
No, but the kids were into the retro shit.
Yeah, which, you know, yeah, fair enough.
That's when all the good shit was happening.
That's when all the good shit came out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she gets into the occult. Her mom doesn't like it. Her mom, they don't really say, I don't know if her mom's just, like, kind of a raging bitchwad, or if she has, like, or if she's, like, bipolar or something. I think it was kind of, like, the way she was acting was almost like she was bipolar, because she would, like, go all fucking ragey, and then the next day she'd be like, hey, what's up, blah, 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 and then act like nothing happened. So basically she's like, well, I can't, you know, the mom is like, I can't stay in this house anymore. It's like, we have to move. So Teen has a teen tantrum because she does not want to move away from her friends. They're moving out in the middle of nowhere like you do in a horror movie. And even though her mom is like a kind of an asshole, like at first she says like some pretty unforgivable, like shitty stuff to her daughter, like admittedly. But she does kind of cave in and be like, okay, well, I'll drive you back to your old school, like at least until the end of the year so you can still hang out with your friends and shit like that. So she's driving her like an hour, you know, each way so she can go to the same school and she can like stop bitching. But after this one huge argument that they have, and the mom says something, like I said, admittedly very shitty that you should never say to your kid, Leah, the daughter, decides, I'm going to use this occult shit that I have going on, and I'm going to summon a demon to kill my mom. So she does the ritual, and then the bulk of the movie is kind of like her waiting to see if the demon's going to come and like what's going to happen, and like kind of vague, creepy things like happen in the house. Like she keeps hearing something that sounds like it maybe has hooves, like walking around up in the attic. She has a friend stay over, and the friend like wigs the fuck out and won't tell them what she saw. And there's like dirt on the floor, and the door is always open, like somebody came in from outside. So it's always that kind of thing. And it's interesting because it kind of keeps it, I want to say it almost kind of keeps it ambiguous, because for a while I was sitting there going, now I wonder if they're going to go the direction of, you know, it wasn't really, like the demon never showed up, it was just like her guilty conscience or whatever. I don't know if they left it that ambiguous though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the friend did see something in the house, even though they never show what the friend saw, and she never says what she saw. She was just like so freaked out. She's like, take me home, I'm never coming back here.
And I think it was like, demon.
Yeah, well, and they do show it, like, at the end. But, like I said, it's very, very subtle. But, like, this had, like, some really creepy, I really, really liked, I think you were out in the other room or in the bathroom or something, this one scene where Leah wakes up in the middle of the night and, like, she heard something kind of creaking around. And then up in the corner of her room, there's just, like, a shadow and you can't quite tell what it is. Like, it kind of looks like a person. It's very hereditary, you know what I mean, where it's, like, a suggestion of something like up in the corner, and then all of a sudden like a leg comes down like it's up there like in the corner like that, and like it starts to come down like that, and it's just this shadow. But I think it was cool the way they kind of kept it out, like they kind of kept it in the shadow. She couldn't see entirely what Piwack it looked like.
Well, it's hard to scare somebody with the way shit looks nowadays. Everybody's seen everything.
And so I think that it was good that they showed some restraint, because like you said, you know, it's very easy to be like, bah, and have like something pop up in your face. It's got big black eyes and a big stretchy mouth. You know, it's like everybody's seen that now.
Yeah. That was like, remember when we went to the theater and saw La Llorona?
La Llorona, yeah.
I thought that was freaking me out. That was freaking out the kids in the audience too. Until it got to a point where they showed it too much.
Yeah. You can't show your monster.
You can't show it for too much. It was freaking me out for about the first one third of that movie, seeing that thing. I was like, that's pretty fucking bad, that thing. That scary ass woman.
Yeah.
But then they showed, in one scene, they showed it to me for too long. They showed its face for too long, which totally demystified it. Dumb.
Well, and like I said too, I think that, I mean, just like every era of horror movies, you're going to have like your kind of go-to scary monster looking thing. So I feel like since the James Wan Conjuring movies came out, and you know, those kind of movies of that ilk, I feel like pretty much every sort of indie movie, not every indie movie, but a lot of indie movies that are just like want a quick scare, they'll have like a woman that looks like, it's like they always have black eyes or their yeah. face stretches out, like their mouth goes, yeah. you know what I mean? They, so there's a lot of that going on. Yeah. Like, I feel like it started in, that might, I don't know if the stretchy face thing started in The Exorcism of Emily Rose. That might have been the first one that I saw it in. But now it's like in every fucking movie. So I liked that in this one, you never really got a good sense of what Pie Wacket looked like. It was just like a suggestion. You know what I mean? So I think it was kind of like, and like sometimes you'd see her from like far away, or it's like sometimes she'd just be in a shadow. Mm. And it was like, I think it was much creepier like that. Mm. Now that said, this is a movie that you really have to like sit down and kind of immerse yourself in, because a lot of it, because you said when we first started watching it, that you were getting impatient with it because you thought it was kind of boring.
Well, it was a weird mixture of stuff where it was good. It was a good idea. It had a good cast. It was looking good. It was sounding good. It was giving me too much information, though. It was taking too long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That first half hour, you could have cut about 10 minutes of that out. And here and there. And for me, I started to get a little bored with it. My mind started to wander, started thinking about other things.
Yeah. But then, like, it kind of picked up, and then you started watching it. Yeah, it started to pick up later.
But that first half hour needs to be trimmed up. I would trim it. I'd trim 10 minutes off of that.
But other than that, like I said, so this is a very atmospheric.
Yeah.
A lot of shit is suggestion. A lot of shit is like just creaky noises, like a shadow in the corner, like dirt on the floor, like stuff like that. So it's very, very low key.
Yeah. I think what they were trying to do is they were trying to build up tension by making it start a little slowly. But it didn't do that. Not for me. It just my mind started to wander, started thinking about other things.
I think it started to do that a little bit more like toward, not like toward the middle, but maybe like 10 or 15 minutes in. Like it started getting better. Because I think they did like kind of, you know, the establishing shit was like took a slightly too long.
Yeah.
But other than that, like once it kind of got started up, like I got invested in it. I got into like the atmosphere of it and it being creepy and like you weren't really sure what was going on. And
it's not the movie. It's not the direction. It's not the acting or anything. The score. It was the edit. The edit could have been tightened a little bit, you know, which that happens a lot with movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Star Wars was saved in edit. But this isn't like a kind of deal where the edit ruins it. It's just that the edit, I think, would have made it a little bit better if you'd have tightened up that first half hour.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, so like I said, you know, keep that in mind that this maybe is something you need to be a little more patient with, because this is way more like a low-key, like atmospheric kind of demon movie that's not going to like have stuff screaming in your face or jump scares or anything like that. It's much more...
Was it The Changeling? More like a Changeling when George C. Scott. Remember how
It's more that kind of vibe where it's like so much stuff. And then like the stuff that happens is like low key, but it's still
and it starts building up.
But it's still creepy.
She's messing with fucking Satanism and stuff.
Yeah. Actually. So, there's also like another character that's like a guy who wrote like an occult book, like an occult primer or something like that. And all her little friends are all like big fans of this guy. Like they even go to like his book signing and stuff. So he's like the one that she calls like to get some help. Like when she's like, oh, hey, I summoned the demon to kill my mom. And then oopsie, me and my mom made up and now I don't want her to die anymore. So it was kind of like, you know, and I will say the end of this. This had a good ending, I thought. I'm not going to spoil it. You liked
I liked it.
I liked the end.
It left it kind of ambiguous in a way. You know what happened, but you're not really sure why. I'm pretty sure it was a demon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
And you can't really spoil it because that's the whole thing of the movie.
Yeah, but I really did like the way they ended it because I was like, whoa, all right.
Yeah. The demon did what it was supposed demon did what it was supposed to do and what it was rumored to do. It got you.
But not in the way that you were expecting.
Don't fuck with that Satanism.
That's the lesson there.
Yeah.
You hear that, you goth kids?
Yeah. It's the same thing as Middle Eastern lore about the djinn. A djinn will grant you a wish, but it's going to fucking cost you. It's that same concept.
Well, yeah, and it's just kind of like, you know, this goes back to like people that were like Wiccans and stuff like that. They always say like, if you do bad shit, that shit's going to come back and bite you in the ass like three times worse.
Yeah.
So this is basically the same principle, which is why you should only like, if you do witchcraft, you should only do good shit. Right. If you do bad shit, like worse shit's gonna happen to you. Yeah. And yeah, that's generally the case.
Kind of, you know, in Islamic lore, a jinn is a demon.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just the version
life
of that. Yeah.
Creature. It's living in another dimension. Some jinn are Christians, and some jinn are Muslims, and some jinns are satanic. And some of them are just farmers and have sheep and shit, but they have all these powers. And, you know, they thought that a wise, what they call them, a majir, a vizier or something, they could enslave a jinn, and it would have to serve you and make wishes for you and shit, you know, fulfill wishes.
Yeah.
But they were crafty, and they'd twist that wish around to fuck you up because they were pissed about being enslaved.
Well, understandably, yeah. So.
That's where all that genie in a bottle and gin stuff all came from.
Yeah, that's what, because yeah. They're like, it's not even tricksters. There's, like you said, they're just mad at having to be enslaved and having to, like, do what your ass wants all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like they're gonna take everything as literally as possible, or they're going to give you shit that you want, but not in the way that you expected.
Not the way you expected it, but they still fulfilled it, but it's at a painful cost.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of the theme of this as well. Incidentally, if you would like to see a good movie about a djinn, more like a ghostly kind of thing, then you should watch Under the Shadow, which is on Netflix, or it was, like when I watched it. That's like it was made by an Iranian guy, like who, I guess he was born in the UK, but he's from like an Iranian family. And so yeah, that was also a really good movie as well. So anything else would you like to add about?
No, that was it, huh?
I think so. Yeah, we're gonna... I had totally forgotten. Like, because I just signed up for Hulu the other day, just on a whim or whatever. And I had totally forgotten that they had Castle Rock on there. And yeah. I was like, well, shit. They're already two seasons in. I'm gonna have to start watching that shit.
Hulu's free, isn't it?
No.
No?
It's I think it's $5 a month or $5.99 a month. Yeah,
you still have to watch commercials, though, I think.
Yeah, well, for movies, you just watch one commercial at the beginning, and then there's no more.
Okay.
If you watch, like, a TV show, then it's commercials. Like regular TV. You know what I mean? Because we started watching My Strange Addiction last night.
Yeah, they got that on there.
Four, five, and six.
The
three seasons.
People eating weird shit. Black girls eating sand.
And that girl that ate sand also chewed on nail files.
Yeah, weirdest shit ever.
They didn't send her to a dentist, weirdly. Uh-huh. They just sent her to, like, a regular doctor. Yeah. Okay, so I have to say, though, I know that people have weird proclivities, and I know that some people have a thing where they eat weird shit, okay? But I will say right here, and I'm taking a stand on this, some of the people on My Strange Addiction, I think, are bullshitting.
Yeah. The dude that was in love with all the inflatable animals, I think, was bullshit.
I think that dude is trolling.
Yeah, I think he was trolling.
Because that guy and the guy that was having sex with his car.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember what season that was.
Yeah.
I think that guy was also trolling. Because I think it's kind of like a thing where you remember, like, back in the heyday of, like, the shitty daytime talk shows, like Geraldo and Sally Jesse Raphael and everything.
It has that tone.
It has that tone to it. I think a lot of the people that were on those shows were just actors or just, like, paid people that were supposed to come on there and, like, you know, they're supposed to make an entertaining show, essentially. So I think the same thing might apply because, I mean, here's the thing.
I don't know, they had that couple that was taking coffee enemas.
I was just going to say.
That was some weird shit, man. And we're not talking about like a cup of coffee. They were like putting a whole pot of coffee in their ass, laying on the side. And they had kids and shit. They were working from home and they'd like put a whole pot of coffee up in their ass.
Up in their butt.
And then just sit there on their side. And they did
several times a day.
Four times a day. And they wouldn't stop. They were going to the doctor. The doctor told them, said, don't do that. And they said, we're going to get a second opinion. That's what they said. And I was talking to Jenny. I was thinking, well, you know, it can't be the same as drinking it. Because it's not going through your digestive system.
It's not going through your liver.
It's going right into your fucking bloodstream.
Right into your bloodstream.
So I was thinking it must have a cocaine-like effect. They were addicted to it.
They were talking about how awesome it made them feel.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that's probably hitting them like cocaine.
I wonder.
Fuck. Don't try it.
Well, yeah, don't try this at home. Well, like that,
you might get addicted.
That's really sad that you actually have to say, please don't, like, stick coffee up your butt.
Well, here's the thing. when he caught his wife doing it, he thought that shit was gross, and she talked him into trying it. And then he goes,
dude,
yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, he got addicted to that shit. So I was thinking it had like a cocaine-like effect.
Bend over, Tom. I'm going to put some decaf
fuck
up your
ass. Well, the decaf ain't going to hit you hard. No. You want that fucking highly caffeine.
I'm going to put some of that Starbucks Christmas roast up your ass.
I remember, you know, fucking when I was in my 20s, we'd hear these fucking rumors, these college kids fucking taking enemas. From fucking vodka enemas, pour a whole fucking half a bottle of vodka up in their ass and lay there for a second, then it explodes on out of them, but then they're fucked up. I mean, fucked up.
I've heard of that. And I've heard about like people soaking vodka in tampons and like sticking it up. I've heard of that too. I don't know how widespread that is.
Damn.
I mean, I imagine there's only, because this is what I was saying to him last night. The thing about the coffee enemas, the thing, but I don't know if those people really do that shit or whatever, but it's like, okay, you have to think that out of all the, I know there's millions of people in the US or whatever, but out of all those people, the amount of people that like have a mental disorder where they eat weird shit, that's a very small percentage.
Yeah.
And that, out of that percentage, it must be a much, much smaller percentage of people that would actually want to go on national TV and be like, hey, I shoot coffee up my butt. And, you know, and then they have to like film you doing it, like laying there on the fucking floor with the fucking shit, with the hose and everything.
It's bizarre, man.
And so I just kind of suspect that, a lot of those people are bullshitting. Now, I'm not going to say that about all of them, because there was this one poor lady on there. They had it where they kind of framed it as she was addicted to baby wipes. But her issue was not so much that, it was that she had been sexually abused many, many times, like as a child, like for a very long time. And in the shower, or like whoever sexually abused her put her in the shower before the abuse and then after the abuse. Yeah. So the sound of the shower gave her panic attacks. So she didn't want to take showers because the sound of it like freaked her out so much. So she just started like washing with baby wipes. You know what I mean? So she had other issues. So that's like not...
It's not the same.
That's not the same. Like, I just felt bad for her. And she did really seem to, you know, make some progress because they're doing like exposure therapy, like,
Had a big old fat girl who was eating hairballs off her cat.
Off her cat.
That was a fucking weird one.
And I was sitting there saying, okay, I will say right here, I don't like lick Pookie, okay? I don't lick my cat. However, I have been known to kind of go like on the top of her head. You know what I mean? Not licking her.
Yeah.
But it's like, I do get like some of her hairs in my lips sometimes. Like I do like smooch her on the top of the head and stuff.
That's not the same though. That girl was eating whole balls of hair off that cat.
Yeah, she was kind of like eating hair balls, swallowing them.
She was brushing it off and then making a ball out of it and then eating it.
And she had, and her cat was super cute too. It was like a black and white one. And I just loved that every time they had like a shot of that cat, it looked like horrified.
Yeah.
Like it was like looking at the camera going,
like, what the hell?
I was like, you can't make that shit up.
Yeah.
All right. So that'll do it for today's matinee. What's today? Okay. So today's Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
So we don't stream tomorrow or Friday. However, we will be back on Saturday with what I think is going to be actually a really interesting show. We'll see you guys next time live on Saturday, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.